Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also known as Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and what we're doing these days, as most days, is going through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. We are starting out in another book today. We're going to go back to the Old Testament, and we have done everything from Genesis through Judges, and we've done in the Old Testament, and then we've done several of the other books throughout the Old Testament. So I feel today that we're supposed to open up the book of Ruth and take a look there. So that's where we're going today, the book of Ruth. We're in chapter 1 and verse 1, of course. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Now, of course, the days of the judges, that was before the days that that Israel had kings. Israel went through a metamorphosis. First, a family, a man who had 12 sons named Jacob, renamed Israel, and those 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. And, of course, taken captive, of course, first moving because of famine into the land of Egypt, and there sojourning for some 400 years. Coming out of the land of Egypt, sojourning in the desert and the wilderness for another 40 years before they entered into the promised land where they were when the judges ruled them. And of course, the judges was that government that the Heavenly Father gave them in the wilderness. So those are the days that they're in, before the kings, before that time came when the children of Israel cried out and said, "We want a king like the other nations." Of course, the word from our Heavenly Father was to the prophet that they have not rejected you, but they've rejected me from being king over them. So it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Benjamin, Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the other was Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Now you notice that they did sojourn, and I have there is a debate among Bible believers, and especially in some circles, the debate is voracious, and it's about marrying outside of your race. And of course, the scripture says nothing about marrying outside of your race, although race is involved. I guess if you want to call the children of Israel a race, if you want to use the word race instead of nation, or instead of ethnos, or instead of family, which I really don't see throughout the scripture. And many people would say that it was against the law for these men to go and take wives of Moab. However, at the same time, that these people that are more inclined to focus on the color of the skin or race, because a lot of them only equate race with the color of the skin, they'll focus on the fact that the children of Israel were not to take wives of the other nations, and were not to give and take wives with the other nations and to become one with them. And the whole idea there is that they were not to lose their national identity. And I guess you could apply that to all nations, but this was specifically for Israel. Israel being the chosen nation of God, God chose a nation for himself to separate from all of the other families of the earth to demonstrate what a people of God or a nation of God should be like. Of course, the people had to be willing too. So the demonstration was both of what a nation of God should look like if they were obedient, but also the demonstration was of the sinful nature of man and how they would utterly fail. And it doesn't matter what nation they're of, that they are only men. So that's why the law was given to them, so that they would be separate. Of course, they violated that law continually. Did this man who fled, of course, he fled Judah, or the land of Israel, because of famine, and went to dwelt with the Moabites where there was a food. Now, here's a time of distress. And his sons obviously weren't married when they left, and since they were tarrying there a long time, perhaps the rest of their lives, they took wives. So what do we have? Do we have exceptions here? Well, perhaps we do. But we need to understand that the reason for the law was for Israel. And you can't take the law of Israel and apply it to other nations, because it doesn't matter. If you have other nations and other peoples that aren't following the Heavenly Father, then how does the law apply to them intermarrying with other heathens, them being heathens themselves? It just doesn't work, and it is not applicable today as far as I'm concerned. And to try to preserve a color of people, because you have different nationalities of people that are diverse, to apply the law today, to apply it to the nation of God today, or his holy nation, yes, we apply it absolutely. But it has nothing to do with color, and it has everything to do with faith. And we also see that demonstrated even as Israel. If you come upon the statutes in the law, which we have covered in depth here and throughout our studies, about how you treat the stranger that sojourns among you. And I'm talking about Israel. The stranger that sojourns among you, the stranger that adopts the faith and practices the faith of Israel, was to be as one of them. And their family was now not a stranger, was not of another nation, but they became of Israel. The law said they were not to have one law for the stranger and one law for the native born. And of course, the stranger being the one who was sojourned among them, who adopted the faith of the nation and the practices of the nation and the law of God, was to be treated as one of them. But those who came in and would not, well, they were invaders. It's like the nation where I live today. America has a national identity, such as it is, and such as it's always morphing into something else. But you have people coming in, you have strangers coming in, not to sojourn, but to change the nation. And you have them being brought in, not to sojourn, not to become one or amalgamated with America, to become one and adopt the identity of the nation, but actually as agents of change, and they are changing the nation, not understanding the founding, the principles that made this nation great, thereby tearing it down. But I believe this is all by design. Let's continue here in Ruth. So we have here Naomi and her husband and her two sons. They flee Israel because the land of Israel, because of famine. Her husband dies, and her two sons marry in Moab there, and then her two sons die. And in verse 6 of chapter 1, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So prosperity has returned to Israel. So now they're going to return, go back and leave Moab. And plus she has, they have no root there. The daughter, the husbands, all of their husbands are dead. So they're going to go home, to Naomi's home anyway. Naomi. Wherefore she went out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. So she's giving her daughters-in-law leave to go back to their homes, to their, the houses of their birth. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Now here's, this is the law, in Israel, that if a wife, if a wife's husband died, she was to go to the family of her husband. This was the law that, for taking care of widows and orphans in Israel. Of course, they were not in Israel. They were in Moab. So I don't know what would have happened to them in Moab. But so she is trying to implement what she knows to be the law, that they return to the house of their husband. Now in Israel, their husband's brother would, next brother would have become the husband of that widow and taking care of that widow and her orphans, or even raised up seed. The firstborn son would be the seed of, to, for the name of his brother. That's how the law was. A lot of people like to say, well, it was just for that. But no, even if she didn't have any children, or even if she did have children, he would still take her in, having the inheritance of the family clan. It would go to the inheritor first, the one who was the head of the family, or who would become the head of the family clan and inherit the clan rights to rule that clan. And a part of ruling was taking care of the widows of, and the orphans. So Naomi tells her daughters-in-law to go to their husbands. And as she says here, that, you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. So she kissed them and lifted up their, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Now, you see here, in, intertwined in all of this, the law, part of the law for marriage in Israel, according to God's law. So with that understanding, we read this. She says, I will have no more sons, because if their husbands died, Naomi was to provide a husband, the next male child in line. Of course, that wasn't going to happen. So she says, turn again and go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, I should also bear sons. Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And what she's saying is, I will not, even if I marry today, it is doubtful that I will have a husband and have children, and that by the time they're grown up, become of age, you're going to be beyond childbearing yourselves, perhaps. So it just would not work. Naomi is being very practical here. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth cleaved unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. So we have a difference here between Orpah and Ruth that Orpah didn't mind turning back and going back to her people and their gods. But Ruth says, I want to be of the people of God. Here we have a real conversion. Someone who has accepted the faith of Israel. Someone who's looking forward to the Redeemer, the promised Messiah of Israel. Because that's what the faith of Israel was all about. It was about all about the resurrection from the dead and the promised seed through whom that redemption would come. This was what Ruth was clinging to, not just her mother-in-law, but to this faith. The God, your God shall be my God, she said. The God of the Moabites had nothing to offer her except whatever things that the God of the Moabites offered for them in this short life. Ruth was not going to allow anything to separate her from the God of Israel and the promises. So she says, thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord, and she says Yahuwah here, and if you read it in the Hebrew, we have the Hebrew 3068, and a lot of times, see, when she says the name of the Creator, there's a lot more emphasis if we read the name in it. And she says Yahuwah. She names him by name. Yahuwah, do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee from me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking to her. She left off trying to dissuade her from journeying with her, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go. And there's a good lesson for all of us from Ruth, that we, to obtain the kingdom of God, to obtain the promises of our Heavenly Father that He gave, starting with Adam and Eve, all the way until this very day, those same promises exist for us. And we need to be steadfastly minded. You know, to be steadfastly minded in the faith is the same thing as seeking first the kingdom of God. If you're steadfastly minded, you will put the kingdom of God before everything, before your own comfort. Because it had to be uncomfortable for Ruth to leave her people in the land of her birth, to go to a strange land where nobody would know her and strange practices existed. But there was something that she wanted, something more than what her people and the gods of her people and their practices offered her. And that was the promises of God, which she was steadfastly minded to obtain. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Well, it'd been a long time, and she's coming back to, you know, hometown, small hometown. Everybody knows everybody. And they'd been gone, what, 10 years at least, if not more, you know, throw a little bit of time in there for traveling. They're gone for more than 10 years, and she comes back, and she comes back with no husband, no sons, no children, no grandchildren. So when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? They started questioning him and about her. What happened? You know, where is everybody? You know, just what would normally happen if you showed up in the town that you came from after being gone for 10 years. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. And, why does she say, call me Mara? Or Mara, and it means it's a feminine of bitter. And why was she bitter? Well, because she lost her husband, she lost her sons, and of course, any daughters she may have had are not mentioned here. And whether she had them or not, we don't know. But we don't see any traveling with her, so we assume that she didn't have any. And I think in this case, it's an assumption we could perhaps make, or perhaps the daughters, any daughters that her and her husband had already been married off and would not be traveling with her. So we continue. She says, "Call me not Naomi, but call me bitter, Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and Yahuwah hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi?" And Naomi, of course, says pleasant. "Seeing Yahuwah hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me." So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere.